Thank you, Elder Lewis, and worship team. Really good to feel the excitement and the zeal in their voices and this atmosphere and spirit in our service this morning. Amen. That's what God loves. God loves to hear our praise. Amen. Amen. Really good. And it's what it's all about, isn't it? Trust as we come together in this way. And excuse me, God wants all that. And so it's good to be here this morning, good to be anywhere, but especially here in God's house. Amen? Amen. We come together as God's people after celebrating a wonderful Christmas. Yes? I know we had a great time with our family. We weren't all together this year. We're a bit scattered around, but we still had a really great day, and we just enjoyed coming together as a family and sharing and celebrating the birth of our dear God's dear son, Jesus. So, but for us, that's what it's all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. And so we come together and we celebrate that in that way that is very significant to us. And there's a world out there that doesn't know Jesus, and Christmas is just a holiday, and but for us it's just a truly wonderful time coming together and sharing one another's company and giving and receiving presents. You all get a good present. I was very happy with my presents this year. They were very, very good. Thanks to my family, especially to my son-in-law. He bought me a ticket to the Boxing Day cricket. Yeah, so we went and had a really good day. We get the Poms. I'm a bit racist when it comes to cricket, but we give the Poms a bit of hurry up, and we just had a really good day there. But overall, our whole Christmas time has just been a wonderful time, and just going up and back and forth to the farm and just checking everything's all right for Ross there, and watering his garden and plants and everything, so we're kept occupied. But it's truly a wonderful time, isn't it? Just a really blessed time for us who know Jesus, and that's just so much, makes so much a difference in our lives that we can celebrate with a good heart. Amen. We can celebrate with a good heart, and it just signifies a time of just celebrating God's great love. God's great love that in giving us Jesus, and when he done that, it just signified a new beginning. It was a whole new realm when Jesus was born, and later on when he started his earthly ministry. It was just a wonderful time. But the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus, a new birth, a new beginning, a new life. And we all know what that's like for those who celebrated through having children. It's a great time, isn't it? When our children are born, it's a new life, and we just don't know what ahead or what that life will bring or what they'll be like, how they'll grow up, all that thing. We probably think about those things, ponder those things, and I'm sure Mary and Joseph pondered too. What will this child be? But they already knew that God had spoken, and that this baby Jesus came. But but it was a great expectancy, a long-awaited thing that was going to happen. And in this case, the long-awaited Messiah was predicted long ago. And my wife, Pastor Patricia, spoke about a great powerful word last week about, you know, the word that Isaiah spoke so long ago. Way back then, Isaiah spoke about the coming king, the coming Messiah. And so we see the fruit of that spoken word back then, when Isaiah was the one who put his hand up and said, and he was the one who went forth and spoke the word to Israel and prophesied all all over that place at that time with great enthusiasm. He was an evangelistic prophet, and he really bought. He spoke the good news, glad tidings I bring, you know, about the Messiah, this counselor who was going to be born. And so it was a long-awaited arrival that in the town of Bethlehem, this anointed one, this Emmanuel, God's only son, would be with us. And he's with us now at this very moment. And so we see that, and the angels, as we here heard, they rejoiced about the new born king, something that we sing in the carols, you know, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. And we that's a great and wonderful thing, you know, that that we know that. We know that so well because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for people, they sing that in the carols, and it's just probably a line of a beautiful Christmas carol. But we know it's a strong, powerful word that man will live forevermore, because we have that eternal promise, don't we? The eternal promise because of Christmas Day. Christmas Day brought many things, a great new beginning. But to those who accepted Jesus Christ, Christmas will be forever in our hearts, amen, forever. And through the birth of Jesus, you know, we've just been given a wonderful opportunity to be a part of God's great kingdom. We're part of God's great kingdom. We're in partnership with our heavenly host, God himself, and through the birth of Jesus. As I said, it was a long-awaited arrival, and in Luke chapter 2 there, we just see there a wonderful prophecy, a mighty man of God that appears, a person called Simeon. You know, he was really waiting to meet the Christ. And it tells us there about all this in Luke chapter 2. About how we see here also about Simeon's prophecy, and it also tells us here in Luke 2:21 that that all took place in keeping with the law. excuse me. Jesus was circumcised. He was named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And we see he was brought to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord. He's the firstborn. God had first claim on his life, as we see. And now, we'll read in a moment, we see this devout man, Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit. He had been eagerly awaiting the coming Messiah. And just as we should be waiting, always seeking, wanting to be in the presence of the Most High God. And so we see here in Luke chapter 2, where about Jesus is presented in the temple, reading verse 21. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel, even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered their sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So all that took place. They took Jesus to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord, because being the firstborn, God had claim on his life. And now as we look at the prophecy of Simeon in verse 25, where it reads here, and at that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit of the Lord led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." So we see there about how Jesus was presented to the temple, and this man, Simeon, who had eagerly awaited the Messiah, who was looking with great anticipation, it appears, at that particular time. And as I said a moment ago, just as Simeon was waiting, looking to see the Lord, that's how we should. We should have that same desire and eagerness, just wanting to be in the presence of the Most High God and looking ahead. Simeon received that promise, the revelation that he had received from God. And that revelation was that God would not let him die before he had seen the Messiah, this baby called Jesus. And as we read there, you know, it was a promise being fulfilled, and Simeon receiving God's promise of eternal peace. And that's something that needs to be in all of our hearts, isn't it? About having peace within our heart at all times. But particularly when we get up in our older years, and I think I've mentioned this time a few times before about having peace in your heart. And every time we go to the nursing home, we always meet for prayer before we go in, and it's something we always pray about, that these dear people in their elderly years, some in a complete state of confusion, others with health problems and issues and things like that, but we always pray that God will give them peace in their hearts, that they will be at peace within themselves, and they can pass from this existence into the next phase and next part of their journey in life, whether it's to be with the Lord or whatever. But hopefully, prayerfully, you know, as these people pass on, you know, they're going to be in the Lord's presence. And but it's something we just need to have, that peace within our heart. And here we see that this man, Simeon, testifying and praising God because God was true to his word, and how the Spirit of the Lord had shown Simeon what would happen, how he would be able to meet the Messiah. And Simeon was able to say, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace." And I trust that will be on our hearts, that when we come to that day, you know, that time in life, that we will be at peace with ourselves, we'll be at peace with God, we'll be at peace with each other, and be able to just move on to it, that into eternity, because God is true to his word. And he says, "I've seen your salvation." Salvation through in the presence of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Simeon was able to say, "He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." And so it's a tremendous testimony of what Simeon was able to declare, "Lord, now I can die in your peace," as if nothing else mattered. But he said, "I can now die." Whether he was ready to die or what stage his life was, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he was happy. He was able to say, "I can die in peace because my eyes have seen the salvation." And Simeon had that salvation in in his trust and belief in God and his faith. And he said, for my eyes have seen. Your eyes have seen, people. Your eyes have seen. And so we see Simeon, he was given special insight into recognizing the Christ. And that needs to be so with us. We need to be able to recognize Jesus, to know this when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, that's God speaking to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we just need to be able to do that and recognize, because we don't want the Lord to pass by without us knowing. Amen. And we just have to declare we have seen a great light. Amen. We've seen a great light, and God has come into our lives, and he's leading us, guiding us, and showing us his way. And as we know that in God, something is always being birthed, visions, ideas. God is always at work, isn't he? God is always at work doing something in someone's life all the time. All the time, God is at work, just sowing seeds into our heart, sowing seeds, revealing us, revealing himself, revealing us things. And so it's just good to be able to see that, and showing us things, giving us a picture of what we can hope for the days of my life. That guy down there, is that your name, Sean? No. Sorry, I'm looking at someone else. It's all right. I was expecting someone, but I thought it was him. It's not. Sorry. But God's always sowing things into our hearts and looking ahead for us, showing us his way. And I'd say that, you know, over Christmas as we approach another year. No, we look back, we reflect on things, we reminisce and think about a lot of things. And as we know, over the past year or so, you know, a lot of things have taken place around us here in our family's life. Different people, different families, things have come upon them. We've rejoiced with them. We've cried with them. We've encouraged them, all that sort of thing. But overall, we've had a great times and occasions just to celebrate many things, haven't we? And over that time, I'm sure we've thought many things. And as we just look back and think about our memories, but we know that we can praise God, because through his willingness, God is in his willingness to love us and forgive us. And that's just a wonderful thing, you know, no matter for the times that we get upset, the times we say the wrong thing, so the times we don't do the things that we need to do, the things that we should do, well, God is able to forgive us and encourage them, because that's what God is. God is love, amen? And for us too, we just need to have that in our hearts, to be able to forgive one another when we do things wrong. We don't generally set out to hurt one another, do we? But things happen, things are said, but overall, you know, let us get over it, eh? Let us get over it and go on, because, you know, God is willing. God is willing to forgive us, and God cancels out the old and brings in the new. And his love and grace, it just breaks down an enormous barrier when we allow God's love and grace to work in our lives, allow it to work in other people's lives. God can do a great thing. And so we look back and we reminisce ponder over many things, and so I feel that that's a good thing to do at times, a really good thing to do. Because, you know, for us in God, we're all in God here today. Everyone here is in God. And you know, I know, that God is always making ways and giving us opportunity just to look ahead. And that's where we need to be looking ahead. We need to be looking ahead, looking up, and knowing that God is with you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's showing you his ways, and he wants you to, wants us to follow in his footsteps and walk with him. So, just encouraging you, that you know, as we look back the past, we reminisce and we refer to it often. But the fact remains, without a past, you know, there can be no future, can there? So we look back to the past and we rejoice, and we can just look there. You know, if any mistakes we make in the future, we try to avoid those mistakes. But also, as we look at our mistakes, you know, we apply the principle of success of the past. Great things have happened in the past. We know that God came into our lives, and everything that happens around us, it's good. So we have a lot to rejoice about, don't we? We do, we do. We are a blessed people. We remember the good times, the sad times. We laugh, we cry over all these things. But if we're going to dwell in the past, you know, that is where we're going to stay. It's not a good place to be. And so, you know, we just have to leave it behind, because we are here today. We are here today. And if we apply ourselves, that is looking to God and looking ahead to the things, the future, you know, with that assurance, a firm assurance and knowledge that God is with us. Amen? That God is with us. Whatever we put our hand to, whatever we do, we know that God is going to be with us, because that's his promise, that he will always be with us. And, you know, God's willing. God is willing. And we know, because, you know, we're going to be here tomorrow and the days to follow. And as I just said, you know, God is willing and he is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to what? The power that is within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, is in me. The Spirit lives in us. Amen? The Spirit lives in us. So, you know, we have that confidence. And as we look around the world today and look around us, we just see, you know, there's so much happening in the world, isn't there? So much happening in the world today. You know, challenges appear and they come like never before. And you think, how am I going to cope? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to pay for all these things? And so, you know, there's a lot we have to think about. But we know that, you know, and so in amongst all these things that come against us, there's an increasing reliance upon ourselves, isn't it? For a deeper dependency upon God. You know, we just really have to kick into overdrive and tap into God more and more each day as the weight of the world, so to speak, comes upon us, and things that we think, how am I going to cope with this? And so we see there, you know, that God, our dependence upon God, you know, we have to be more resilient to a changing world, don't we? And a greater desire to look to God for help. You know, there has to be a greater desire to come from within, you know, to take us through. You know, challenges, you know, some challenges can stimulate us. Others can be undaunting, can't they? They can unsettle us. But nevertheless, we still want to be a part of what God is doing. We don't want to miss out, do we? We don't want to miss out on what God's doing in our midst. And so this morning, I'm going to share a few things, and as we start out upon this new year, we want to start well, don't we? we finished the year good, and we want to continue in that vein, in the things of God, in our own personal lives, in our families, everything around us, and that we will finish the year well. We'll better still, we'll start the year well. Amen. As we know, Vision Sunday will be with us in a few weeks' time, and our pastor, Senior Pastor Chris, will unfold the vision that God has laid on his heart and for us for this year. So as we grasp hold and as we run with the vision, God will do a good thing. Amen. God will do a good thing. Good things will happen if we grasp hold of what the vision that Pastor Chris brings to it. The things that God has sown into this man's heart and wants to bring forward to us. And so as we believe for more, we need to believe for more, don't we? It's not about just more of the same. Nothing wrong with the same. What we're doing is good. But we want more, don't we? We want to do things better. We want to be more effective in everything we do. Believe for more, new things, new people, new ideas, new revelations, and much more of our spirit will arise as we possess what's ahead. And that's what we need to do. We need to take possession and not let the enemy have one part. We don't want the enemy to be sharing and what they're doing. But as we start out the year, we start well. It's a new year, so let's get hold of so we need to let go of anything that would hold us back and from pressing forward and accomplishing everything God has for each of us and for everyone here at Grow Church. And so, we don't want to be holding on to anything that will be slowing us down and stopping us from going ahead. And so we just have to let go, because we have a tremendous opportunity, don't we? A tremendous opportunity to start afresh. If we're feeling jaded or tired or just not up to the mark, well, New Year's a good time to start, isn't it? It's a good time to start. And God is a God of new beginnings, and he is willing for us to start all over again. And like the Apostle Paul spoke so much about it, what this means is more of God and less of ourselves, isn't it? The Apostle spoke much about that, how we just had to let go of everything with us and give it over to God, not let our troubles slow us down. And if it means putting things right with God, well, let's do it, because it's a good time to put them right now. And in the book of Malachi, is Malachi very strong there about, how we need to put things right and to get our hearts right with God, to do things right in God's sight. And because in Malachi, he said, don't rob God. You're robbing God of everything that I've given you, everything that I've placed before you. You're putting other gods before me. You're not using the gifts and the things and the way I've blessed you. You're not using that for my glory. You're giving it over to others. So we don't want to weary God in that way and robbing God, because we're not giving of ourselves. And as it says, don't rob God. None of us want to do that. And I'm sure you don't set out to do it intentionally. But there's a thing that creeps into our lives, isn't it? We get lazy, we get tired and all this sort of thing, and we get lackadaisical. But God says, we have to step up. And so, as I said, it's a good time to start now to get this back into your life. And don't rob God. Give God the time that God deserves. Spend time with God in your prayer life. Commit to praying daily. It's something we have to do. We can't live without it. We can't. And, give God that time. You pray, you praise and worship. God loves to hear us sing. God loves to hear us pray. God loves to hear us talk to him. And, all that type of thing. God wants this closeness for us to be intimate with him and to just open ourselves to him. But as we see in amongst all this, all God wants to do is to open the floodgates. Open the floodgates. But what happens? We're keeping them closed, aren't we? So we just want to open up and let God in, and there'll be more of God come out. What comes in goes out. It's like on sheets of printer, put stuff in that comes out on the paper. But as we take in the things of God, you know, things will come out. We'll have the words to say when we want to speak to people, and God will fill us with the power of his spirit. God's spirit will come upon you, and he'll fill your heart. Out of your bellies, out of your stomachs will come living water. The word of life will flow out as you speak to people. So open up the floodgates, open up the floodgates, and let God come out. As we've all experienced before and over the Christmas period, you know, just how tempting it is with all the glitter and the trimmings everywhere about us and everything that offer, you know, and with the world telling us, you know, we've just got to have it. And you've seen the Boxing Day paper full of pages and pages of all the sales. Christmas was left behind. Yeah, all they wanted to do was promote their big sales and how cheap you're going to get all this stuff. I think they're selling overpriced goods from the start. Anyway, but today it's all packed away. That's not in our lives, is it? Jesus is always with us. We don't pack him up, put him away and bring him out next Christmas. God is always with us. And the presence of Jesus Christ in our life shines out through that in our lives. So as true believers, you know, we don't pack Jesus away from one season to the next, because Jesus is forever. Amen. As I said, Jesus is a new birth, and he's been a part of our lives, and his presence continues to grow with it. But I just want to say this morning, you know, at times how difficult things can be for many people, families and individuals, but please just try to remember the good things. Try to remember the good things. The blessing you are to each other. The blessing you are to each other. You are a blessing from God. Believe that. You're a blessing from God. Blessing to each other. I encourage you, cherish the country we live in. We live in a great nation, don't we? And it needs more of the presence of God. It's only us who can bring that. It's only us. It's God's people. We need to do that. Cherish the country you live in. Because around the world there are millions less fortunate than us, isn't there? We see that every day, the suffering. Look at in the country of Sudan, is it now? Things that are going, it's terrible. Terrible. You wonder how people could turn on each other that way. It's sad to see. And, you know, our heart goes out to the people who suffer. I'm sure there's families here who have family over there. Our heart goes out to you people today. It's so sad to see. But for us as a people, you know, we are so blessed. God's favour and blessing is upon us. God's favour and blessing is upon us. And we are well positioned, aren't we, to bless other people. And it was so great to see, wasn't it, the Movember moustache thing, and the amount of money that was raised through that, just on $2,500 or a bit more, but that was a tremendous effort by everyone concerned there. But better still, you know, that's going to keep that program in Tagum City, is it? You know, for 12 months. We provided there that for the next 12 months, that program will continue to go on. So, you know, we have such an opportunity to be able to give back into the things of God, you know, to sow into ministry, sow into other people's lives, and especially those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And as I just said, we're well positioned to give, you know, because, you know, we're never more like God than when we give. Amen? Would you agree with that? We're never more like God than when we give. It's because God loves a cheerful giver. And God wants us to give first to him, and then as we give out to each other, his blessing will just come upon us. All the time, we'll be continually filled with his blessing. And a story read of once before, I think I might have shared it about 4 years ago, about the American author Charles Swindoll. He told of a story about an incident at the end of World War II, and it goes like this. A US soldier was visiting a London bakery to choose a selection of cakes when he noticed a small boy hungrily peering. This kid was probably had his hands on the glass, his face pressed up the window, looking at all these cakes because it was been rationing time, and all this sort of food and stuff had only just been able to come back on the market. But it says the soldier went in, he bought his cakes, paid for them, and walked out back to his jeep. But suddenly he was just taken by an inner voice that came in. He turned back around and he handed that little kid the box of cakes. And as the soldier climbed into his jeep, he was just about to go away, and he felt this tug on his coat, and this young kid. And the kid looked up and he said, "Mister," as he was firmly boxing this box of cakes. And the kid said, "Are you God?" You know, that's from a kid's heart. You know, this little kid who had his face squashed onto the window, his nose and all, I'm sure, his hands probably drooling at the mouth, looking at all these cakes and stuff in there, stuff that they hadn't had for so long because of the war year. And this soldier turns around and gives that little boy that gift. And the kid was overwhelmed. And he thought all his birthdays had come at once. And he said, "Mister, are you God?" And that's how we can be. We never know what we're doing when you give, when we give. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know just what the outcome will be. So it's good to give, because God loves a cheerful giver, and he wants us to see us bless people, because God has blessed us. His favour has been upon us, and that's what God wants to do us. He wants for us. He wants to bless us, to bless other people. He wants his favour to be given out to others. So as the author said, we are never more like God than when we give. And I'm sure, you know, we all experienced that over Christmas. When we gave gifts, when we received gifts, we were really blessed. And the author also went on to say, he said, it's worth contemplating the words of Jesus, where it says, live out your God-created identity. Live graciously and generously toward others, the way God lives toward you. Because God wants the very best for us, and he wants for us to pursue his plans and his purpose, everything he has for you. Start the year well, and we'll finish well. and encourage you to keep moving with God. Honor God for what He has done in your life. Honor God for what He's done in your life. And give back to Him what is rightfully His, and He will surely give back to you. If you will bless God, He will bless you. Honour our pastor. I encourage you today. Honour our pastor, Chris, our senior pastor, a mighty man of God. He is a mighty man of God, a good man of God, a faithful man of God. And so we bless him. And I encourage you as a people, you know, to give thanks for our pastor. Give thanks to him, encourage him, and for the way that he's pastored and ministered the church, for his commitment and input to the whole overseeing of the church, and for his wife Mary, who stands alongside him and supports him, and for his three sons who uphold him and honour him as pastor of the church. And so I encourage you to encourage them to just to thank him, thank them, just to tell them how much you appreciate them, because we do appreciate you people. We do. And, yes. And so it'd be a good thing to do. I know how much my wife, Pastor Pat, and I value the encouragement we get from you people, the way many of you do. You all bless us. But some do little things that, you know, we don't share because it's something between them and us. But it's so good to be blessed. It's so good to be encouraged. It's so good to be loved. It's so good to be told when something good has happened, and they say, we come up and encourage you what's taken place. But again, I just encourage you, bring our pastor before you. It's, you know, it's not always easy. Not always easy, not always the popular being a pastor sometimes. But, you know, God knows this man's heart. God knows your hearts. And that God's heart is toward you. God's heart is toward our senior pastor and his family. So I encourage you to be the people God wants us to be, about blessing and giving. Let God's favour outwork in you, and to continue to be more effective in all our endeavours in reaching out in this community. Amen? In this community. And I think I'll just finish. I had a little poem. I read this out about 4 years ago, I think. And also, it's a story about, it's a story from a publication I read. It's called The Gospel Tree. And it's about keeping your light shining bright. And so I'll read it again. Some may remember, some may not. But it's called The Gospel Tree, and it goes like this. There once was a shining Christmas tree, standing out where all could see. Its brilliance captured every eye and seemed to cheer each passerby. The lights are so bright, they would say, and hesitate to walk away. The tree stood proud, ablaze with light, for every bulb was burning bright. Then one bulb was heard to say, "I'm tired of burning night and day. I think I'll just go out and take a rest, for I am too tired to do my best. Besides, I'm so very small, I doubt if I'd be missed at all." Then a child who was watching by said, "Look, Mother, this one shines so very bright. This one looks best to me." "Oh, my goodness," said the light, "I almost dim right out of sight. I thought perhaps no one would care if I failed to shine my share." With that, a glorious brilliance came, for every light had felt the same. Our gospel, like the Christmas tree, with little lights, which are you and me. Let's keep our tree ablaze with light and testimonies burning bright, for our gospel is a living tree that lights the way to eternity. I thought that was really good. Like I said, when I first read that, but I just wanted to share it today. You know, we can get tired, but let us burn bright. Not like the little light that wanted to go out. And it was so encouraged when that child reached out and said, look at this one. And that's what God does with us. He says, look at you, look at you, look at you, look at you. You're all special in my sight. And you can all burn bright for me. And so encourage, you know, not to slacken off, because God knows our hearts, he knows our worth. And as we come to facing another year, let's get ready, amen? Let's get ready and just rise up the challenge of what 1914 will be. I'm believing for a great year in the things of God for each and every person here, for this church, Grow Church. And we're going to do, partnership with God, we're going to do great things, amen? And so today as we... musicians have come. We're going to sing a song. It's called The Light of Your Love is Shining. And I just trust that that will stir our hearts and challenge us in the coming year for a greater desire just to reach out and touch others for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we just bless you and thank you again for the opportunities that you give us, Lord, where we can come together, Father, Lord, gather together and praise and worship you, Lord, Lord, and just reach out and touch you and to receive from you, Lord. We receive your blessing, your favor, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your heart is toward us and your desire is to see us do well in life and to pursue the plans and purposes that you have for each and every person this day. Lord, that we'll grow and mature, just as your word tells us how the boy Jesus, he grew and matured. He grew and matured in stature and in wisdom. Lord, let that be in each and every person's life this day. Lord, that we will grow in stature. That is, that we'll grow in the things of God. We'll become mature and have that sense of finally being grown up and being able to minister the word of God well and wherever we go. So, Father, again, we just thank you for this day and bless you, Lord, for the year that's been, and most of all, Lord, for the year to come. Lord, we know that you will continue to open the floodgates. Lord, you'll continue to show us new things because that's your heart for us. In Jesus' name, amen.